You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 378 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you late into the night here on this fine Thursday, a podcast that I was not planning on recording, but when news breaks, we jump to the case. And here is Robbie Calland of UpRock Sports joining me. And, you know, Robbie, you're a fan favorite for a reason, but this is going to be a fun one, I think.
Yes, sir. I'm here. Mike is here for now, still.
He is. The reason why we are convening on this fine Thursday is that Adrian Wojnarowski just reported, later confirmed by Chris Livermore and Michael Cunningham of the AJC, that Mike Budenholzer has withdrawn himself from consideration from the Phoenix Suns job. That does not, of course, mean that he'll be back with the Hawks necessarily. He of course, is still with the Hawks at this moment and always was, but Phoenix has been the most prominent suitor of Budenholzer's, at least for now until the Milwaukee job opens, potentially, in the next week or so. But what does this mean? Let's just start at the beginning with you. Before this news, how confident were you, if you were confident, that Bud was not going to be back? And what if at all, does this change for you?
This doesn't change anything. I didn't think he was going to take the Phoenix job. It never made sense from a basketball perspective for the jump. And now I get that he's from Arizona. It's a move back home, essentially. Like, that's always intriguing. But it's also still young enough in this industry that I don't think right now he necessarily is in a spot where he has to be thinking about, like, you know, it's time to go back home. You know, it's time to, you know, that's I know it's always intriguing. You always want to talk. You always want to see if that opportunity is there, and that's why he did it. But it never made sense from a basketball perspective because it is a lateral move from the Hawks roster. Like, there's obviously one Devin Booker is a significantly higher upside, better player than anybody the Hawks have on their roster right now. I will give the Suns that. But everybody else in that Suns roster is a major question mark. Moving forward, maybe he could talk himself into being the guy that helps them take the steps. But watching that team this year, there are a lot of steps for them to take. There's a lot they need to add. There are a lot of questions about pretty much everyone on the roster. And it just didn't seem to me to be like a home run spot for Bud where he would just be like, I've got to take this job. I think it was a situation where he was like, look, here's my number. If you meet this number, then yeah, I'm probably in. And unsurprisingly, Robert Sarver wasn't trying to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, that was my thing from the beginning.
That is a stunning development for anybody that's followed NBA basketball for the last decade. Yeah, Sarver doesn't spend money. He doesn't do it. He will not do it. He's not going to put the money up to have, like, the elite guys. Like, he just doesn't do that. So, no, this doesn't surprise me. But no, I don't think Bud is back. I think I was probably the first one to say that on this podcast because we've been hearing those rumblings and I just don't care. So I said that way back early in the year. I didn't think Bud was going to come back. It didn't make sense because Schlenk didn't hire him. GMs like to bring in their own guys that fit their vision. And considering Schlenk took over for Bud, the visions weren't the same for what they were trying to do. And that's just what happens. It's not an indictment of Bud who, I mean, I'm sure you've talked about this. Like, we've talked about this. It's like, he's a great coach. He got more out of that Hawks roster than an average coach would have this year, possibly to the Hawks' detriment in the lottery. And look, like, he's just it just wasn't the fit for what Schlenk wanted to come in and do. And I just don't think they necessarily see completely eye to eye. And I think the Hawks are happy to let him explore other options. And I don't foresee him making it through this hiring process with this many teams in need of a new coach that he makes it through this process and is still in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of dynamics in play, one of which I think is very significant and probably, you know, sort of holds the key to the Phoenix open and shut that we've just had is the contract that Bud still has. He's still owed, you know, almost $14 million over 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has to be said that, you know, I don't think there is a team in the league that would pay Bud that amount for 2 years just to be its head coach. I think Bud is very, very good at his job. At the same time, he's still on the contract that he was given when he was doing the dual role. And very, very few head coaches without personnel power get paid $7 million a year. That doesn't really happen. So you throw that in along with the fact that as you said it, as I've said before, that Robert Sarver in Phoenix is pretty much the last destination you would possibly think to pay a coach top dollar. And by the way, he doesn't a new team doesn't necessarily have to match his contract, but at the same time, Bud has very little incentive to leave and sign for a significant pay cut because, you know, better or worse, if the Hawks want to move on from Bud it bad enough to where they want to fire him, Bud will collect his $14 million and he'll be just fine. And if not, he'll stay in Atlanta and collect his $14 million. So it's one of those things where, like, I saw Mark Stein actually – sorry, I should say I heard Mark Stein on the radio in Phoenix actually on Thursday at 98.7 FM say that he didn't think it was outside the realm of possibility that Bud could be back in Atlanta. I won't tell you that it's absolutely not going to happen because at the end of the day –
right.
Somebody's got to offer him a job for him to leave. And that's not a foregone conclusion. I think, you know, he should be at the top of basically anybody's list that has an opening because I think of all the coaches that I have seen and heard, I think Bud is the best coach available. He's not necessarily as available. Obviously, that sort of puts the wrench in things is that the Hawks are going to ask for compensation. They were always going to ask Phoenix. They'll ask Milwaukee. They'll ask whoever wants to hire Bud. The Hawks are going to try to get compensation out of it. What we don't know, you and I, is whether they would actually be willing to hold it up over compensation. Like, if somebody wants to offer a second-round pick for Bud, is Schlenk just going to say no to that? I'm not really sure.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of this speculation, you know, it's basically all speculation stuff that we've heard, but at the same time, like, I just think there are enough jobs open. And frankly, if Milwaukee wants Bud, I think he's going to go to Milwaukee. That's the job where I think Bud would take a pay cut. Maybe not a huge one. And by the way, if he signs somewhere else, he's probably going to get a 5-year deal. And that sort of helps to bridge the gap. If you sign a deal for 5 years and, you know, $25 million total, that helps to bridge the gap of the $14 million that you quote unquote just lost in taking that deal. So I don't know. There's lots to talk about there, but I think Milwaukee is the sort of the keys to all of it now that Phoenix is out of the running is that, you know, Milwaukee's the one job that I've seen open that is definitively better than the Atlanta job. And because they have Giannis, it's not an organizational thing. I think if anything, the Hawks probably have a better and more structured organization, which is kind of weird to say out loud, because they have a stable owner that's willing to spend. They have a GM that I think is going to be a pretty good GM. We'll see moving forward and a bunch of young assets, but Milwaukee has Giannis. So there you go.
Yeah. It's pretty simple. I think this comes down to if the Bucks want Bud, I think he would be crazy not to want that job. I think a lot of coaches in the league would be crazy not to want that job. Now, like you said, there are organizational factors that go into this that obviously Milwaukee has problems in some of those capacities. However, ownership, all of that, it can be problematic, but they have such a unique kind of roster of talent that you probably overlook that and go, look, you have Giannis, you have Chris Middleton, you have, even though he's been hot garbage so far in the postseason, you have Eric Bledsoe, who still you think has some solid talent in him that if you can just pry out of him the effort and the consistency that you can get what everybody's thought he can be out of him, even if he's maybe not athletically the same guy he was pre-injuries. And like there are solid role guys on that roster. Like Tony Snell is maybe overpaid, but he's a solid role guy, and like there's a lot to work with there. Chief among them, Giannis, and if you give that team a defensive identity, then plus like an offensive system that is actually a system and not just, hey, let's hope Giannis does cool stuff, you know?
Which is basically what Milwaukee's doing now.
Which is what they're doing in the postseason. Is they're like, let's hope Giannis does cool stuff, and if Giannis can't do the cool stuff, then Chris will hit a shot. And the funny thing is, those two have kind of done their part. It's just when you don't have an actual system for role players, they're role players for a reason. There's not a role for them. You need that to get anything at. Like that's why Brad Stevens' system works so well for those guys. There are defined roles that these guys can fit into and have their talents maximized. When it's just go do stuff, that's really hard to be a role player in that system, because unless you are a dead-eye three-point shooter, it's very hard to just do that. It's very hard to just be off the ball all the time and then every once in a while be asked to do something. Like, I think Bud would be a great fit there as far as having that offensive system, having just elevating what they do on that end of the floor. And as we've seen when the Hawks are at their best, like he has a defined defensive system. He gets a lot out of guys on that end, as we've seen. And like it seems like the best hire that Milwaukee can make of the available coaches that appear to be out there. We'll have to see again, like you said, if compensation meets up. What becomes interesting is if Milwaukee goes in a different direction, whether Bud is willing to answer the calls of any of these other jobs. And that's, I guess, my question to you is, if you take Milwaukee out of the equation just for the purposes of this question, what job do you think Bud would be interested in? As of now, obviously, the Knicks seem pretty set with their candidates list, and Bud has not been a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, the only two that we've actually heard him linked with are Phoenix and Milwaukee. But I guess the interesting question is, do you think any other playoff team fires their coach? Or are we talking about just teams that are currently available right now? Because that's a big question. I think Milwaukee's going to be available pretty obviously. But is there another team in the playoffs that could be available that I'm missing? I'm trying to think in my brain if anybody's actually
sort of got some trouble. Unless Washington cuts bait on Scott Brooks.
I mean, maybe that.
That's not out of the question.
But I mean,
because things went south so quickly, but I don't know if they will. But
aside from that, like I don't think, honestly, that there is an obvious job that is open that is a big upgrade from Atlanta on paper. Right. The problem is, and the question has always been, how bad is it between Schlenk and Budenholzer? You know, that Mark Stein report was out there. And again, all indications are those guys are not like, this is not like completely untenable. It's not a situation where they hate each other and they can't work together by all indications. Again, this is not me reporting. It's just all the stuff that I've read from Stein and Woj and the AJC. Nobody seems to think that they absolutely hate each other. So it's not like it's untenable. But at the same time, we talked about it a million times. You know, Schlenk didn't hire him and probably wants his own guy. But I don't think it's bad enough for Schlenk to fire Bud, if that makes sense. Like, I'd be pretty surprised at the end of this. Schlenk just said, "All right, Bud, we're gonna send you packing." I don't see that happening. Like, I think Bud has to get another job for him to leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Orlando, is that? It's not appealing to me. If I'm Budenholzer, they better pay me all the money in the world, or I'm not going to Orlando.
I mean, right. And like Charlotte is not. Charlotte's, I can't see him.
I mean, Charlotte's more of a
clamoring to reunite with. Clamoring to reunite with Dwight.
Yeah, if Dwight wasn't there, I think that might be something that was interesting. But sure. and by the way, he didn't go to UNC, so he's not an available option with the Hornets. That's going to be Jerry Stackhouse or somebody of that.
Jerry Stackhouse, Kenny Smith.
But no, actually, it's funny because Bud, I mean, famously didn't want to rebuild by all indications. So maybe on paper, if you remove Dwight, that's a team that might interest Bud, and that they could actually make the playoffs if everything went well next year. But I don't think he wants to coach Dwight again. That's just me guessing, but it didn't end super well by all accounts. So I don't know. I mean, am I crazy? Am I missing one here that I think is obvious? I don't really see the job.
Memphis is
more interesting than Orlando is, but at the same time, like, Memphis has got the ownership weirdness. They have the possibility they're going to rebuild. Like, they probably should have already rebuilt. But does Bud want to go into another spot where they're about to rebuild? But they're not ready to do it.
Or they're not ready to do it, and it's possible that everything kind of blows up again.
At least with Phoenix, like, he knew the deal going in. Like, look, they have a ton of picks, but at least it's a fresh start. You'll have a long-term contract, and we'll have patience with you. If you go to Memphis and you rebuild after a year, that's not fun for anybody. He just did that. I'm sure he doesn't want to do that again. I mean, at least, you know what I mean? Like, Phoenix and Orlando, you kind of know the deal. Like, you can see the roster. It is what it is. But again, I honestly, it's going to be weird to say. I think it might be Milwaukee or bust, which is weird, but I think it might be, unless an opening happens that we just don't see, like Washington or
Washington makes things very, very interesting.
That's a job that you have to think that people would want,
even with all their.
I wrote about them a little weirdness. Bit this week, actually. That their future is kind of ugly with their salary cap, and they have all the famous internal problems, but Bud is usually pretty good about that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I never, this is kind of weird. I never thought Phoenix was going to hire Budenholzer, but I do feel differently about him coming back now versus an hour ago, just because there was at least a chance that he was.
Yeah, it's another job that's off. I mean, yeah, it is interesting when you talk through it, because I think the general vibe has been he'd be gone, and I think
that's the fan base vibe for sure. I can confirm that. Every fan, as soon as you saw the reporting, like, he's gone, I'm like, I understand, I get it. But,
right.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those situations where, like, you read the tea leaves, and it looked like he would be gone. But again, like, as we talk our way through this, it's kind of gonna come down to if he can get a job elsewhere. Which, you know, there's
we'll
there's only 30 jobs in the NBA, and he's got one of them
not opening, obviously. So.
And that's what makes it interesting. And
the money, I swear, I keep coming back to this, but, like, if you're a team that's not clearly better than the Hawks, you're gonna have to blow them away with a contract, because that $14 million safety net is real. I mean,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to...
Especially in this profession?
I mean, Bud's not
going to get that kind of contract again.
No, ever. It's very likely that Budenholzer will never make $7 million again in a season. That's extremely likely, if not almost definite. I mean, he's only 48 years old, which people forget that he actually is pretty young. He started super young in San Antonio, so he's still not even 50 yet. But, yeah. I don't know. It's weird, and then there's the whole domino of... You know, people keep asking me about Hawks candidates if Bud leaves, and that's a whole other discussion to be had. James Herbert wrote about a little bit about that, actually, a bunch of different jobs, not just the Hawks, and mentioned Jaren Collins. There's all these names, whether they be retreads or people that are tied to Schlenk, etc. I'm reticent to go down that rabbit hole too much, and I haven't really written about it or talked about it, because I just don't think we're there yet. But I don't know. I mean, there's names you can kick around if you want to. I'm not necessarily in dire need to do that, especially until we hear something more concrete. Because even with the Suns, like, people saw that initial report and thought, all right, this is going to be pretty likely to happen now. And it's like, well, actually, read between the lines. Even the original report, there were 5-6 other candidates. It wasn't like it was Budenholzer was the primary candidate for Phoenix.
Right.
So I don't know. I think we, as a collective, have gone a little far on this one, and probably take a step back. But I say that knowing that full well that Milwaukee could be done in 4 days. If that's open in 4 days, it's gonna all get hit again.
Yeah, I think at this point is everybody is in a holding pattern until Milwaukee is mercifully taken out of the first round of this postseason. Whether that's in four or five or
four. Oh, please don't longer. Please don't get swept, Milwaukee. If you get swept by that by this Boston roster, that is a catastrophe. As a sidebar,
yes, but
it could happen. They've looked terrible.
They have been terrible. Now, the one thing that you always talk about in the playoffs is role players play better at home. Comfort, sleep in your own bed, all that good stuff. Everybody always says the same things. And, yeah, so you should get better stuff from the non-Giannis cash contingent, but, it's amazing. Like it was one of those things where we're now off the rails here, but
it happens.
Going into that series, it was a really popular upset pick. Understandably so. You know, you look at it, you go, okay, well, the Bucks have the best player in the series, bar none, Giannis. They very well should have three of the best four. With Middleton and Bledsoe, at least three of the best five, Middleton, Bledsoe, and yep. You're like, okay, like that's pretty good talent advantage. Bledsoe has somehow managed to be like the 10th best player on the floor at all times, which is baffling. Shout out to him.
And by the way, that was reportedly the spot for Dennis Schroeder midseason, to bring him back to the Hawks a little bit tangentially. Kevin Arnovitz reported after the fact that Milwaukee was talking about Dennis before they got Bledsoe. So just let that murmur in your brain.
Yeah, now I'm trying to figure out how that would be going better. I would almost guarantee.
I mean, Bledsoe's been so bad that yes, I can't argue with that.
It can't have gone worse. Speaking of can't have gone worse. Good God, Portland. I'm sorry. This is me
it's
live
reacting right now as we're talking. I know Portland's about to be done.
Portland getting slaughtered in New Orleans. Shout out to Anthony Davis. He's good at basketball.
He is. That's a job. By the way, that's a job like it actually could open like 3 months ago. That has not going to open. No.
Alvin Gentry's done a phenomenal job and should be getting like genuine praise more than he has. I think everybody's been so focused on, oh man, like Anthony Davis carried this team, but he's completely adjusted how they attack on offense and on defense. Those weird little small lineups where he puts Etuan Moore, Rajon Rondo, and Drew Holiday on the floor are freaking buzzsaws defensively on the perimeter.
Yes.
It is phenomenal to watch them work together. Not to mention AD up in the paint, just in case somebody gets through. And then like Mirotić has been great. So shout out to the Pelicans. Look, Milwaukee, I wouldn't be surprised if they get swept at this point. Like they shouldn't, but
Maybe that job looks worse, I don't know, but
already hit 1-2-3 Cancun already.
We may have. Oh, by the way, I'm looking through. I was trying to find another team while you were talking.
Oh, the Pistons.
The Pistons.
The Pistons.
There was the report from Woj that Stan Gundy is going to be meeting with ownership this week. That's a job that actually could be kind of buttish because they are not in a place where they're going to be rebuilding because they pretty much can't rebuild even if they wanted to. And they have enough talent to make the playoffs in the East if they were coached well. Not that Stan's a bad coach, but I think Bud's a better coach than Stan. And, you know, you have Blake, and if you get Reggie Jackson back, et cetera. That might be enticing for Bud. Also, the deep sleeper is Cleveland. if LeBron left, would be what I would say, because LeBron would not endorse a higher Budenholzer. I don't think that wouldn't be a LeBron coach, but if that goes badly, LeBron's going to leave. And if that happens, they could certainly move off Ty Lue. Just saying.
Yeah. No, there are a few. I totally forgot about Detroit. They're having that meeting and all
yeah,
that
could be that could be open. Oh, and the Clippers, because Doc is apparently sort of in the same place as Bud. Like Doc was linked to that Milwaukee report. It would not be a surprise to anybody if Doc was not in Los Angeles anymore either. So those are, I mean, we obviously can't talk about those as if they're like open because they're not, but it's not always as obvious as the jobs that are already open now. we should just at least point that out.
Yeah. It's gonna be an interesting offseason here in Atlanta.
It's been less than 2 weeks and we're like already dug into like full rumor mode. I'm not sure I can handle full rumor mode from now until the middle of July. I might just die.
It's gonna be great. I look forward to joining for free agency when the Hawks have handed out some money.
Ooh, one note, by the way. I'm reading the Woj report that's actually now fully out on Budenholzer as we record this. This is live. Here's a quote from Woj. Budenholzer met with Suns general manager Ryan McDonough and owner Robert Sarver earlier this week, but there was never traction on reaching a contract agreement as the week wore on, league sources told Woj.
Yeah.
So it looks like it was not particularly close, which is not a big surprise either, but at least again, we should say that out loud.
The money. Again, it's pops.
I would be stunned if this was not as simple as Phoenix would not pay him enough money.
it seems
so simple.
If we're making odds, that's like
a big
1-4.
Yes.
Big favorite. Laying money.
Because, I mean, by that reporting, it never even got close to the fact where the Hawks would have to then go back and say, we want compensation. Like, they were never close to actually coming together, which is what I assumed, but just that's now spelled out more clearly in the full piece. So I would encourage you guys to read that. But, yeah, apparently never got close. And we'll be on Bud Watch now. We've been talking about Bud Watch for 4 or 5 days now, but it's probably going to stretch out for a lot longer. Basically, it's until happening. Until every job is filled, I will be on Bud Watch. So it could be a month.
It's going to be great. Bud Watch should at least carry you to the draft.
Oh, please don't. I hope not. That's 2 months. I might just fall out. At some point, I have to actually talk about the draft.
Well, I'm talking about like until like real like draft, like post
until the lottery, maybe. Yeah.
Post lottery, like off. Can really start talking about it.
Listen, they're going to have four picks in the top 33. It's going to be a lot of fun, actually. I'm looking forward to the draft for the first time in a while. I mean, I always personally love the draft, but from a Hawks perspective, it hasn't been overly interesting in a while because when you make the playoffs every year, it's not as interesting.
No, they still doing down the bowels of Phillips Arena?
Phillips is doing the renovation, as you know, so I believe...
Oh, is it going to be at the facility?
It's going to be at the practice facility.
Ooh, jazzy in the concrete bunker.
Might have to drag you down for that. We'll see.
I might come down for the draft. That could be fun. There should be reason to be there. It's been a while since it's mattered to be there. God, those nights when you have like the 22nd pick.
We did it last year, and actually, I mean, it was very upbeat last year when compared to the previous few because they were legitimately excited about Collins falling to them. Like they were actually surprised that he fell. Like it was genuine. Like every team's gonna be like, yeah, we're really happy we got our guy. But like you could actually tell they were legitimately fired up about Collins falling to them.
Yeah. My all time favorite was FaceTiming in with Dennis.
From Germany. On a bad Skype connection.
On a bad Skype connection in Germany. And while he's like walking to his practice facility. That was an experience. That's some vintage stuff right there.
Hopefully we'll never.
Because we also had to, that was like deep in the second round because that trade had to go through the league before we could even be like
allowed to
admit Dennis was the pick. I'll never forget the Shane Larkin Bebe.
Yeah, there was that. The year that they traded the pick for what eventually became Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh my God.
Was not a move that I enjoyed. And also, there was no one to talk to because they didn't actually make a draft pick. So it was like, all right, Tim will be available in 3 days. You've all been here all night. Tim's going to be available in 3 days. It's like, okay.
I hope you enjoyed the popcorn.
Exactly. me and Hawks PR. Shots to those guys.
Shucks, the best. Shucks, best in the business. Absolute best in the business.
Anyway, we've been off the rails for a while. Let me get a prediction from you, a wild, reckless prediction on Bud's landing spot that we will not hold you to, but go ahead and give it to me.
I'm going to stick with the Bucks.
All right, Robbie's on the Bucks. I'm actually going to agree with you, although I think I'm probably a little bit less confident than you are because you were on that early, which I will credit you for. If that actually happens, I think you might be the first person that called that.
Was that when I texted you the day they fired Jason Kidd?
I think I need to go find that, but I'm pretty sure we definitely discussed that way before the reporting out of Milwaukee about the interest. It was definitely something that you just recklessly speculated out of nowhere. So
recklessly speculated that Bud should want that job.
I will put that out there in the ether if you nail it. But if not, Bud might be. Listen, Bud could be back, and I think Bud it might be okay because. Bud's a professional,
they're all professionals, and they'd get through. It would be interesting because you would feel like he was kind of a lame duck 2-year coach. But like the funny thing is, of all the coaches to do that with, and all the coaches kind of to go through a rebuild with, like I feel like you would have to be the most confident that like Bud and this staff would still be like developing guys. Now would they be as committed to like playing the young guys in games as much as maybe Schlenk would like? That, you know, probably not. He's going to make guys better. He's going to put guys in good situations. So like, it's not like you're going through this with, I don't even know.
Bad
like,
coach X. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not like JB is running the thing.
No, and I think again, like it's a spot where Bud is going to put his head down and coach, and there are worse. I mean, and again, this is something we both hear things. I've not heard a single thing that would disqualify Bud from coming back in terms of personalities.
No.
Like I actually, and I've heard different, you know, different people said different things. You've heard a little bit about how they had a little bit of a rocky start together, which is to be expected because Bud was once in charge and then was not in charge. I can't imagine that was super easy, but I've heard multiple people that it got way better during the season and they're pretty much okay. Like, so it's not like it would not blow me away or bother me in the slightest if Bud was back, because Bud is a very good basketball coach, and if he's your basketball coach, you're in just fine shape.
Totally agree. I think hopefully people have not taken my stance all year as me wanting Bud out. So, I think Bud is a tremendous basketball coach. I think his faults were almost exclusively at an executive level, and I don't really necessarily put that on him because he wasn't supposed to be that. He was not hired to be that, and suddenly he was thrust into that role because everybody thought, well, there's this kind of unilateral decision making. He was the coach of the year, and there was also this kind of like unilateral thing going on where he and Ferry were on the same page with the vision. But that clearly kind of fractured, working with Wes, and they just weren't quite on the same page with a few things. And I think honestly, you can kind of trace it all back to the Al Horford, Dwight Howard decision. And from there, it was never going to go especially well. Wasn't.
Here's a PSA for you. No one ever should hire a coach GM combo ever.
Nope. Never.
They should be literally banned in the CBA. It should not be allowed.
It should be a Stepien rule situation. It should be not allowed for the good of your club, because there is not a franchise outside of, right now, there's not a franchise that's in like significantly better shape than like when their coach GM started, other than Minnesota, and that's because there was really nowhere for them to go but up by landing quality players.
And they've also done some dumb stuff, by the way.
They've also signed Derrick Rose and let him play real minutes
and Gorgui Dieng for a lot of money and all kinds of things. But they hit the home run, so shouts to Tibbs. But it's not one job, it's two jobs. It just is.
It is. It's at least one too many jobs for all of them.
Yes.
To take on, because being an NBA coach requires you to already be an insane person and put in insane hours. So, yeah, it's not surprising that one person struggles to do those two jobs. So, yeah, like, but just don't do it. Learn from your mistakes. And at least the Hawks have done so. And
yeah,
they've turned it over to one person.
Yeah, and listen, in conclusion, Robbie's predicting Budenholzer in the Bucks. I think it's more likely Bud does not return than does return, but it's closer than it was an hour ago. That's where I will leave it there. That's me trying to toe the line a little bit, but that's where I'll be, although nothing would surprise me either way at this point. Thank you, Robbie, for joining me, my friend, on short notice. I really appreciate it, and thank your significant other for allowing it as well. I believe it's very late in the night here, so I appreciate that.
No, she's out of town.
Well, there you go. Even better.
So I got time.
Hey, plug your stuff. Plug the pod and everything.
Dime Podcast. Search it. Find it. This week, we recorded with the great Adi Joseph from CBS. Illustrious guest each week.
Adi's great.
It was great.
We had
Kelly Dwyer on last week.
Kelly Dwyer was last week. That was very good. Martin's back, which is nice.
Martin is back. Yeah, a lot of fun. Dime Pod, you should be reading playoff coverage on uprocks.com/dimag if you get down on the non-Hawks business, because right now we don't have a lot of Hawks content. Because they're not doing a lot.
Budwatch.
Budwatch. We do have Bud posts. You can read me there. I got a couple things up. If you haven't read my Dario Saric feature,
very good stuff.
Maybe do that. I got some coffee with Dario a little while back, talked to some of his folks, and wrote a little bit about him. So that was fun. Yeah, that's about it. I appreciate you for having me on, as always. It was a welcome distraction from some terrible playoff basketball games tonight. Just nothing even close.
Yeah, it was a slow one down the stretch here, let's just say. Well, thank you, Robbie. We'll do it again soon when there's more news to hit, and I appreciate it.
Look forward to draft season.
As for everybody else, we'll be back at some point. If Budenholzer lands somewhere over the weekend, I promise we will have a podcast. But if not, I'll see you guys next week.